May it be the purpose of God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 and read in the last three verses, verses 28, 29 and 30. Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 and read in the last three verses, 28, 29 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Surely these are some of the most encouraging words spoken to a believer or spoken to a seeking soul. They are gracious words of invitation spoken to us by the Saviour. And how important and relevant they are to every one of us to remember the gracious invitation that we have in this 28th verse, to come unto the Lord, to think that we have such a condescending God, to try and appreciate that we come to a God who is so great, so powerful, totally beyond our comprehension, a God who numbers our every hair, a God who knows the beginning from the end, a God who created all things and yet condescends in such a wonderful way to address poor sinners of the earth in this way, to come unto me. Now then, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can and will do us any real good. And may we indeed hear such a gracious invitation tonight, may enter into our hearts, may recognise the importance of it as we trace out our spiritual condition and recognise how relevant it is to each one of us, and to be able to say in the words of the Lord, thou art the man. Yes, we're the man or the woman or the child that needs the word of God, that needs the Lord to look upon us. Now the Saviour instructs us in this way, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is a very clear qualification, and in fact there will be no requirement for us to come unto the Lord unless we had a need. Why should anybody want to come to the Saviour unless they had a need of the Saviour? And so it's a blessing to realise here that the Lord Jesus himself spells it out to us very clearly in these words, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Well, we may not always realise our true condition. We may not always recognise that we are labouring, that we are heavy laden. We may not appreciate our true condition. We may be, as it were, soldiering on in our own strength, and we seem to make no progress. In fact, we seem to go backward. We don't seem to go forward. We don't seem to receive the answers to our prayers that we desire. We pray and we don't seem to get those answers. And therefore, although we may not recognize it, the truth is that we are laboring and that we are heavy laden. And we may come into the category that the Lord Jesus spoke of earlier in this chapter when he was instructing the disciples to go and tell John the Baptist of those things which had done. And just to interrupt, as it were, our train of thought for a moment, to think of John the Baptist, a greatly blessed man, wonderful favour to be able to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ as he did. And yet, what do we read of John? When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It seems almost incredible that a man like John the Baptist should make such a request. Surely he'd had wonderful evidence that Jesus was the Son of God, and he'd been greatly blessed in his position. But now we see there's that seed of doubt, and we see that he requires to know. He needs to be comforted. He needs to be assured. And Jesus then responds in this way. And this brings us back to this being heavy laden and burdened. And what it means is this, really. The Lord said, Go to John and tell him those things which ye do hear and see. And he gives a little list. He says, The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, I believe that all of these situations, considered in a spiritual way, will make us under this position as labouring and are heavy laden. Because if we feel and if we believe that we seem to be blind, well, what do we need? We may labour under that blindness. We just can't see things. We can't understand things. Our eyes seem to be shut. We can't really appreciate the great truths that are contained in the Word of God. Is it because we are, as it were, spiritually blind? And we can't really see the things we want to? What's the effect? Well, if that's so, you know, if you're struggling, as it were, and you feel to be blind, you'll be labouring under it, and you'll be heavy laden because of it. You can't seem to see the way. It seems dark. Doesn't seem to be any light upon the path. Well, you'll need then the Lord to come and speak to you and to say those words, Come unto me. You may say, well, why is that so? Because of this. Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light. The Lord is light. And as we may come to the Lord Jesus in all our need of our blindness, and in some measure, we never really see everything clearly. We always need the Lord to come and to open to us and to direct us and to shine upon our path so that the light shines there, and then we do see the way. We are happy to walk in that way because the Lord shines his light. So we perhaps understand what the Lord spoke. They're great truths, aren't they? How encouraging they were naturally to John in prison to have had this message brought to him and to behold the blind receive their sight. Well, can you and I look back in our lives and see that we have seen the light? May not be perhaps quite as clear as we would want. Remember, there was that case in the Word of God when that man was given his sight and he was told, what did he see? Did he see everything clearly? No, he said, he saw trees like men walking. Yes, he didn't see those things clearly. He saw men as trees walking. It wasn't clear, just a basic outline. And that is sometimes the case with us in our spiritual life. We just see perhaps the basic outline. And we do need God to come and to clear our misty sight so that we see something of the great truths of the gospel, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to us. as he's not unto the world. And that's an important consideration, that Christ is revealed to the church of God. It's not something that you and I can really come to appreciate by just natural study. We perhaps think we can, and we see many people today who are under that delusion. They think that they can come to this blessed knowledge of Christ by natural study. Well, they can come to a natural understanding. But the spiritual understanding is simply this. It brings us to that place where we need Christ. We need to know that he's dying for us. We need to know that his death, and through that death, has taken away our sins. That through his shed blood, we are washed, we are made clean in the blood of the Lamb. Now, as the Spirit of God, and it is the blessed work of the Spirit of God to reveal these things unto our heart, then it is that we recognize that we have been blessed with spiritual life. And what normally occurs then, we are surprised that we hadn't seen the things before. The light hadn't in fact shone into our hearts. But as it shone, what a blessed revelation it is. Does it not give us joy in our hearts to thank and praise God for his goodness toward us? And what has been the result? It's really been like this. We've come unto the Lord. We've poured out our heart before him. We are encouraged to come and to pour out our heart to our God, because our God understands us. Other people don't. God knows all about us. He knows the details of our heart, of our mind. He knows that which we need. And so, as we may have come humbly before our God, and be sure of this, a seeking sinner comes humbly to God. A true sinner comes in that way. A proud sinner doesn't come in that way. A proud sinner is like the publican who was proud of his prayers, proud of his profession. The true child of God will not be like that. They'll be ashamed of their works. They'll be ashamed of their profession. They'll be ashamed of their lack of belief. And therefore they'll come humbly to Almighty God. Come unto me will be such a suitable word. And they may not always have appreciated they've done just that. They've come to the Lord. They haven't realized what they've done. But they have been burdened, and they have been labored, and they have been heavy laden, and they have come to the Lord, and the Lord has looked upon them. And he has been gracious unto them. And he has opened their eyes. Well, the blind receive their sight. What a great blessing for us tonight. If we have in our hearts the evidence from God, the Holy Spirit, that we do see. And we're able to say this. One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, but now I see. Now that is the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, to your soul and to my soul. And what a great favour it is to be found in a position like that, and able to humbly say, yes, one thing I know. Couldn't say a lot, couldn't quote a great long experience, but could say very simply, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And so the Lord goes on. The blind receive their sight, a true evidence that the Lord was the Christ. And then he says, and the lame walk. The lame walk. Well, again, in the spiritual consideration, sometimes we might think, well, we just can't seem to walk. We're just hindered. Our legs don't seem to want to move. You know, we're as it were, we're crippled. Crippled we are. Now, what may have made us lame? I'll tell you what may have made you and me lame. And that's our sins. They dragged us down. They dragged us back. We're not able to walk as we would, and we're lame. We're lame in the things of God. We're not making the progress that we thought we would. And we're burdened by it. We're heavy laden by it. We're lame. We don't seem to be making the spiritual progress that we hoped we would, that we desired. Well, the gracious words of the Lord are, "Come unto me." We may have been struggling on ourselves. We may have been able to correct ourselves, to improve our situation, to be a better person. Nothing wrong in desiring those things. But we have to prove this, that it is of and through the grace of God. The free, unmerited favour of the Saviour. And that's what makes grace real, and that's what makes grace precious. And that's why someone like John Newton said, "Amazing grace." It is because it comes to those who are undeserving, those who are lame in the way. And so the Lord came and said, yes, the lame walk. Yes, they walk. No longer are they not able to move, but they now walk. And they walk in the ways of the Lord. They follow that narrow way, which leads to eternal life. They're not distracted as they were. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, it's a great word, isn't it? It's a great word of encouragement to those who are blind, those who are lame. And then we read the lepers are cleansed. Well, perhaps we don't see lepers about in our country today, but there were lepers, of course, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And leprosy was a very bad disease, which naturally there was no cure for. No cure for naturally leprosy, and if it attacked, it usually spread. And it was one that separated. Lepers were cast out. Lepers were outside the camp. They weren't allowed in. It was a desperate thing to be a leper. In a spiritual sense, what does leprosy mean? It means sin. It means sin. And you know, leprosy often covered a person. So does sin. Sin, you see, makes us cast out. We're separated from God because of our sin. Our sins separate between us and our God. Now then, the Spirit of God has shown you and me our sin. Perhaps in measure. And perhaps as we grow spiritually, that measure is increased. And we see sins that we never knew existed before. We find sins deep within our heart, which we are surprised to find there. And it has a terrible effect upon us. What does it do? It makes us labour and we're heavy laden because of the sin which drags us down. Yes, the sin that drags us down, not only the original sin, but indwelling sin. And we find sometimes we're not able to shake it off ourselves. You see, the devil knows what are our weak points. The devil knows what is attractive to you and to me. Maybe very different things, sinful things. Sinful things that we may think about, indulge in our minds, evil things. The effect is that really, in a sense, we're lepers. Yes, and we need to be cleansed. And we can't cleanse ourselves. We're heavy laden because of it. We're burdened. It drags us down. What does the word tell us here? What are the Saviour's encouraging words? Come unto me. Nowhere else to go. You and I won't find relief anywhere else. Won't find relief in the things of this world. The more we indulge perhaps in them, the worse we get. We think, well, we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll get rid of it. My friends, you need Christ to come and to take away those sins, to cleanse us from our leprosy. Now, what happens? Come unto me. If we come unto the Saviour, how do we come? Well, we come as heavy laden. And what are we doing? We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to him. And what do we see? What must we see? We must see the Saviour burdened with our sin. You know, we're burdened with sin, aren't we? You look at the Saviour and see that he's burdened. He's been burdened with our sin. And in order to release us from our burden of sin, he laid down his life because he loved us so much. Isn't that amazing? That Almighty God should have loved you and me so much that he was willing to lay down his life that you and I might receive life. And so the lepers are cleansed. In a natural way, wonderful. In a spiritual way, it's wonderful to feel and to know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now then, the word tells us, come unto me. All you that labour and are heavy laden. Yes, we come to the Lord in this way. As it were, burdened, heavy laden with our sins. And I believe this must be so, and it will be so. And you might think, well, I'm now a good Christian and I'm making good progress. If you make a good progress as a Christian, it'll be in this way. You'll see more of the depth of your sin, and you'll see more of the need of the Saviour. And because of that, the Lord Jesus Christ will be more precious, and perhaps more precious far than earth and all its comforts are, because it's comparing time things with eternal things. And what a great and vast difference there is. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. Well, we perhaps know deaf people, and we know what a difficulty it is to make them understand. They're deaf and they can't hear. And that's just as we were born in a spiritual sense. We were deaf. We never really heard the truth of God. And I'm sure this is so, but the Church of God can testify that perhaps they've been to chapel for many, many years and they've never heard the gospel. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, they've heard it naturally, but it's never actually come into their heart. It's never touched their heart. It's never moved their spirit. No, they've been deaf to the things of God. But what a wonderful thing. If you and I, in our time of need, we couldn't hear. We've been blessed with this wonderful desire. We've been labouring under it. And we've come to the Lord, come unto me. And the Lord has given us hearing ears and the deaf hear. Well, again, let's look into our spiritual lives tonight and to see whether we have heard the gospel in our heart, not just in our mind, whether it's penetrated. You see, if it's come into our heart, it would have made a change. It would have done something for us. And that something is that which you and I could not do for ourselves. And we shall bless God for it and thank God for it, for his wonderful favour and his wonderful blessing in giving us hearing ears. We speak, don't we, often of a hearing ear when it's good. If the Spirit of God has given us that hearing ear, and we've come to the Lord in this way, we've laboured and we're heavy laden and we can't seem to hear the good news of the gospel, it doesn't seem to come, and then the Spirit of God applies the word and we hear the word of God. It penetrates into our heart, and it does us good, it's spiritual good. And so we hear, and the dead are raised up. The dead are raised up. What a statement this is. Well, wonderful, wasn't it, for this picture to be brought to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, there's been these demonstrations, the Saviour's raised up dead people, and they've come to life. A miracle it was, and it's no less a miracle when the Spirit of God brings you and me into spiritual life. Because we were born dead in trespasses and in sins. And I'm sure we realize that a dead person is not able to respond to anything. A dead person knows not anything. If the Lord comes and has touched us, the Lord has come to us and said, live. Life has entered in. Spiritual life. Raised from the dead. What a blessing if we've known the favour of God to this end. Raised and raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The poor. Poor in themselves. Well, if you think of those words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he began that Sermon on the Mount. The first words he spoke were these. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now that's an inward evidence. That's not something which is external. It's poor in spirit. And you may come and say, well, I'm such a poor person. Such a poor person. Remember what the psalmist says. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. The Lord brings us down to realize that we are poor. We may have been quite proud at one time of our life, thought it was really quite good, and we lived an upright life, and people could look at us and see how good we were, and we were punctual and good at our chapel attendance and reading the Bible and all such things, and we were proud of our natural attainments. What was it? The works of the flesh. And then, to be blessed, to be brought down by the Spirit of God, to be poor in spirit. As it were, we mention the Pharisee, we think of the publican. What was he? Was he poor in spirit? He hung his head, beat upon his breast, cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, he had a real need. Poor in spirit. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. You see, this is the good news, isn't it? They had the gospel preached. Those who labour and are heavy laden, bow down. Those are the ones who hear the gospel. It's preached to them. You see, in a congregation, there's many people. How many are poor in spirit? Only the Lord knows. But those who are poor in spirit, they have the gospel preached to them. They receive the word. It has an effect upon them. It does them good. It's made a blessing. And the dead are raised up, the poor of the gospel preached unto them. Well, a little list, isn't it, of those things that the Lord spoke to the disciples to go and tell John the Baptist. But how appropriate it is, really, as we read this word, come unto me. Who are the people that come? Those who are labouring and are heavy laden. Other people will not come. And you and I can therefore examine ourselves in the light of God's word to see whether we have come to the Lord because we've walked in this path and we understand these separate situations and can bless God that his Spirit has come and touched our hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And you know there's a wonderful promise. What is the promise? And I will give you rest. Give you rest. And in these situations, as the Spirit of God reveals his favour toward us, What does it do? It gives us rest in our souls, because we're thankful to believe that Almighty God has come to us, remembered us in our low condition, our heavy burdenness, and blessed us, and remembered us with that favour he bears to his people. Yes, and I will give thee rest. You see, we come to the Lord, it's his gracious invitation, because of our need. And what does he do? He gives us rest. You and I cannot give ourselves rest. There's no true rest in the things of this world. But spiritual rest is a wonderful blessing, because it means peace with God. Peace with God. No greater blessing in our natural life than to know peace with God. I will give you rest. Now, here then is this gracious word of invitation to the living church of God. Come unto me, all that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And not only, of course, is this a natural rest, but also not only a spiritual rest in this life, but it's an eternal rest. An eternal rest to be found in heaven at last. And the pathway of the child of God is staked out, as it were, in these kind of terms of walking in this path, and to have a revelation of God to our souls to encourage us that we are in the right way, which brings rest to our souls, and we can look forward to that rest that remains to the people of God, which is an eternal rest. You see, the Lord blesses us then with from time to time that rest in our souls on this earth, but look forward then to that time of eternal rest, that rest that remains to the people of God. Now, the Lord Jesus comes on then and speaks then to these people. Remember, he's encouraged them to come to him. He's spoken at who they will be and what kind of condition they'll be in. And he said what he'll do to them, he'll give them rest. And then he instructs them. He instructs them in this way. He says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, remember, the Lord Jesus was speaking in those days when they were still carrying out probably the ceremonial law. And as it were, ancient Israel were tied to this ceremonial law. And my friends, it was an exceeding difficult law to keep. It was so comprehensive, and there were so many rules to obey and so many things to do. And it was a very heavy burden. And now the Lord comes and says, "Take my yoke upon you." His yoke. His yoke. His yoke is so different. So different to the Old Testament yoke. And you might say, well, what really is this yoke? Well, put very simply, it's like this. I believe it's a profession of our faith. The Lord gives us this profession. He's given us this spiritual life. Take my yoke upon you. And as we take it up, this profession of our faith, take it up, then the Lord says, and learn of me. Now, surely we desire then to learn of the Saviour. We need to learn more of him, do we not? Is that not our real prayer? That we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, I hope it is, and it's a good prayer and it's a right prayer. But if you and I are to grow in grace, here we have these encouraging words that we shall learn of him if we take his yoke, that profession of faith, upon us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What does it mean? It means this. We're linked, we're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of that great and glorious family, part of the church of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Is it difficult? Is it irksome? My friends, the blessing is that Christ is with us. We're not alone. You're not set out on a journey by yourself. The Lord is with you to support you, to encourage you. the burden is shared. And my friends, the more we are blessed with living faith, as it were, the less of the burden that we carry. Yes, the Lord Jesus takes that burden. Yes, we're told to cast all our care. We're told to cast our burdens upon the Lord, because he cares for us. And if, my friends, we have that revelation, that evidence of that spiritual light and life and hearing, it's because we've been blessed with something of a view of what the Saviour has done on that death upon Calvary's cross, and we learn of him and we want to learn more. We seem to be so ignorant. We seem to know so little of the great truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this encouraging word to learn of me. And the Lord Jesus, he tells us, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." He understands our condition. Remember, he's taken on our human flesh. He knows, as it were, how our heart beats. He understands the path. He's been on this earth. He knows the trials. He knows the tribulations. He knows what you and I are facing. He's not a stranger to those things. He is a brother beloved. He is a friend. The stick is closer than a brother. And he tells us, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." So, what is our situation? We can share with him, can't we, all our concerns. We can come to him. "Come unto me." We can come to him. We can tell him all about our doubts, all about our fears, all about our concerns. And he understands. He knows about us. What a great and glorious privilege it is for Christians, as they walk through this world, to have such a glorious Saviour. And to be able to say, "My beloved is mine. Yes, yes, he is the altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And our hearts are drawn to him because of what he's done. And we find him meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You see, fellowship with Christ, my friends, puts everything right. The things which appear so difficult, so impossible, union with Christ puts everything right. And that's why it comes like this: "And ye shall find rest." We won't find it unless we walk this way. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And the answer is, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." This is the promise of God. Are we walking this way? Do we know this rest for our soul? Is our soul restless? It may be. And we want rest. Here is the gracious command of Almighty God: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." It's very amazing, isn't it, to think that Almighty God should make such a great and glorious statement as this to encourage us today. He comes right down to our level, comes down to our position, so we can come to him as a brother and as a friend, and we can speak to him, we can talk to him. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And then he just confirms his words again: "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We might think, "Well, I can't really take on this, it's just too difficult." No, says the Lord, "it's easy and it's light." And I'm sure of this: the living church of God, who by his grace have been able to take his yoke upon us. It's a blessed position. It's not anything that you and I regret. No, to be yoked with Christ is a blessed position. It's a wonderful favour. Union with Christ. You know, I hope we all desire that. To be in union with Christ. Not in union with the world. in union with Christ. And to be blessedly in union, the privilege is to be yoked to him and to hear his gracious words of encouragement. They are encouragement, are they not? Here we have in these words, the end of this 11th chapter, they're wonderful words, aren't they? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour. Everyone, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, the blessed Saviour. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Blessed be God. Amen.